Let's get an update now on something important that is going on in the country. Eskom's top brass appearing before Parliament today. They're sitting in front of Scopa explaining whether they complied with their own procurement requirements in giving a coal supply deal to De Geer Resources. It's partly owned by President Jacob Zuma's son, Duduzane, and the Guptas. Now, the deal was worth more than 3.5 billion rand, and a PricewaterhouseCoopers report said there were several irregularities in that deal. Returning CEO Brian Molefe says he wasn't at Eskom when the deal was signed.
With Tegeta about their contract on the Brakfontein Colliery actually started in May 2013. The negotiations went on for about 2 years and the contract was signed in March 2015. I must indicate here, Chair, that there has also a lot been written that I was personally involved in that, in those negotiations and in that contract. I wasn't. It was signed in March 2015. I arrived at Eskom in April 2015.
Now, UCT senior lecturer Timothy London has suggested that the debacle around Brian Molefe's return to Eskom is indicative of huge flaws in Eskom's accountability systems. Dr. London joins us on the line now. Thank you for your time today. What does Brian Molefe's return tell us about governance and compliance at Eskom in general?
Well, I think, you know, we've been focusing on, I think, a lot of cases, the 30 million potential payout in the return and that. But, you know, the real issue here is you need a series of failures to happen in order to get to that point. And that's the sort of the worrying bit. So we often look at the one-off instance. But actually, if you look through some of the papers that were filed in the court cases, you can see flaws in the board meetings where Brian Molefe is present while the board is arguing for massive deviations from his pay package. You can see that letters are sent, but they're sent late and they're not replied to from people who are supposed to have oversight, namely, you know, Minister Lynn Brown. So we often look at the end result, which is bad. Certainly don't want to underplay that in any way, shape or form, but it's the series of collapses throughout their governance systems that are really worrying, because it means multiple chances to fix things that are not taken by multiple people, and that's probably more worrying for the country than anything.
What about this issue of senior executive remuneration, which you flagged?
Well, I mean, that's an ongoing debate here and I think around the world about what's the right level of pay. Obviously, in a country like South Africa, where the Gini coefficient is massive, meaning the disparity between what the wealthiest people have and the people with the least amount of money have. It's massive here. So it's glaring in general. But in this case, this is, in Molefe's case, he was making 7,656,000 rand a year. And the case seems to be being made at the board level that we need to give him 30 million for his pension because otherwise, you know, it's not worth it financially. And I think, you know, in any country at the moment, but especially in South Africa with its massive discrepancies in what people make, that's a really hard argument to stomach, I think, to legitimately say we're worried that someone making over 7.5 million rand a year won't be able to make ends meet unless we give them another 30 million in a lump sum. And so, again, we can go back and whether he deserves 7.5, I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. But I think it's pretty debatable. I'm very skeptical of someone making that amount of money also needs another 30 million on top of it.
Are the basic rules of consultation around critical decision making being respected at Eskom?
It certainly doesn't appear so. I mean, so basically the rules for corporate governance is you can absolutely deviate from what your stated rules are. And there's essentially rules for breaking your rules. And so that there's nothing inherently wrong with sort of saying, look, we've signed this to a contract and now we want to renegotiate the contract. There's nothing wrong with making those types of amendments. But in those cases, there are very clear processes that do follow. There's, you know, in the case of massive deviations to the pension payout, which is what one of the things that was argued in this 30 million, you know, you can't action that without a sign off from essentially the minister. Well, a letter was sent out, but according to the documents I've seen, was not received. So there's no answer received for that. So to progress without that sign-off is unusual. To have Brian Molefe in the board meeting while they're discussing massive deviations to his pay packet is really, really not okay. And in fact, if you look at the board meeting minutes, there's a section in there, as there is in many companies' board meeting minutes, that says declarations of conflicts of interest, which is a chance for people to say, look, I'm actually involved in this in a way I shouldn't be. I need to recuse myself, or just so you know, my son is a part of this company we want to do a deal with. So in this case, Brian Malefi is sitting in a board meeting where they're discussing massive deviations to his pay. And there's a section there for declarations of conflicts of interest, and no one says anything. Those are just fundamentally not how corporate governance is supposed to work. They're missing all the sign roads along the way and blowing right past them.
Dr. Timothy London, thank you so much for talking to us.